We're going to continue looking into the life of Jesus. And if you'll turn with me tonight to the Gospel of St. John, I'm going to look at several passages in the same chapter in the book of St. John, chapter number 6. And ask the question that some of the people here at least alluded to. Maybe they didn't exactly ask Jesus in the way that I've titled the message, but they asked Jesus in a roundabout way, are you going to be our provider or are you going to be our divider? So think about that. Is Jesus a provider or a divider? John chapter 6. I'm going to begin looking in chapter 6, verse 26 and 7. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And let's look also at verse number 32 and 3. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, turn on over to verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Also, look over in verse 49 through verse 58. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat this eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. We've been studying about Jesus feeding the 5,000, those 5,000 men and all their families. And probably no sooner than Jesus had fed those 5,000 plus many, many, many others, we see something that's going to be a trend that's going to take place in Jesus' life. We're going to see the trend of what's going to happen to Jesus right down the road, not too long from what we're looking at now. You can readily see from this point forward that Jesus' life's going to end up on the cross. Amen? It's going to happen. That's where it's headed. Now, it's going to end up with his disciples, his apostles, so discouraged and so depressed, not understanding what's going on. So they asked Jesus, what went wrong? Where did we go wrong? What happened? What took place? They needed to have remembered what Jesus had already taught them and told them in the Gospel of Matthew. Look at it with me. Chapter 10 of Matthew. Look at verse 34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus had already said this, but look at it again. Matthew 10, 34. Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He also further said that there would be a division among households, father against son, mother against daughter, children against parents, parents against children. So Jesus said, I am not come to bring peace to the world. I have come to bring a sword. The sword he came to bring is the sword of truth, the word of God. That's the sharpest implement, or you might say weapon, that there is known to man is the truth of God's precious holy word. Now, those who hold to the truth and those who believe the truth, I promise you, are always going to be hunted down by evil. It happened in Jesus' life, and he ended up on the cross for standing for the truth. It'll happen in your life and mine. It'll happen in our church, in our day, in any day you may look at, from the past to the present to the future. If you stand true for the truth and you believe the truth and you hold to the truth, I promise you, evil is going to come your way. We're going to see now in the next few sessions how quickly evil's trying to hunt down the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, after he fed the 5,000 plus many, many others, he gathered his disciples and they got into the ship and they sailed across to Capernaum. Now, this is a hometown. Capernaum is where Peter and Andrew, that's their hometown, also the hometown of James and John. So they go over the sea now and they come up to Capernaum. Now, this is where we're going to pick up our story for tonight. We're going to see a continuing gathering of, you might say, storm clouds against our Lord Jesus, and they just gather, they get darker, and they begin to get darker and darker and darker. The storm's coming in regard to what Jesus came to do and who Jesus came to be. That's the whole storm revolved around Jesus. The truth of the Word of God, the truth about the Son of God, the truth about the Messiah, and what he came to this earth to accomplish. Did he come to be a provider, or did he come really to be a divider? Well, we're going to see from this passage some things that we're going to look at. And I'm going to say he came to do both. He came to be a provider, and he also came to be a divider. He said that in his own words. But not just in the way that the people in the first century thought of Jesus. And probably not just in the same way that people might think of Jesus today. But it took place the way God planned it and the way God intended for it to be. There's three particular things I want you to see about this thought, provider or divider. We first of all begin looking in verse 26 and 7 as he comes across to Capernaum. The people, the multitude, followed him, and now we find him there, and we have a confrontation with Jesus in verse 26 and verse 27. The multitudes just followed him as best they could, and then they find him in the synagogue teaching in verse 26 and 7, and they confront Jesus with kind of a statement like this. Well, we suspect that you just eluded us and you came to Capernaum just to avoid us. Well, Jesus asked plainly the question, why are you following me? Why did you come at all? Why did you follow me in the first place? And then he presents them two things to think about this confrontation with Jesus. First thing he wanted them to think about was their feeding the physical life. Look at verse 26. Jesus asked them in verse 26, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves that were filled, or provided, you might say. Jesus saw and Jesus knew why the multitudes were following him. It wasn't, he said, for the miracles that he performed, although he did perform many miracles, we do know that, but for the food, for the provision physically that he had been providing for them. They were just concerned about food for their bellies and not nourishment for their souls. That's pretty much what Jesus said to them here. He said they're only seeking food that's going to perish. It's not going to last. It's going to disappear one day. He said, you should be seeking the food of eternal life and of eternal nature. Not only will that food save you, but it will sustain you, sustain them all for eternity. So he said, think about the provision. And then on the other side, the feeding of the belly, feeding of the physical. He said, also think about nourishing of the spiritual. Look at verse 27, what he said. labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Well, as they confronted him with what they needed, Jesus told them really what they needed. They didn't just need physical food, perishable food. He told them what they really needed, and he also told them how to go about getting it and where you can get it. It's in him, in me, he said. I'm the bread of life. This nourishment that I'm going to give you will never perish. It'll sustain you. Jesus said, "I'm the true bread that you've been searching for in your life." He's that eternal food that God the Father has sealed and sent here on this earth. God provided for them. God also had sent to them nourishment for eternal life, provided through and by the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's the same truth today as it's always been. There's something in your life, my life, that we knew before we met Jesus. We knew there was something in my life and yours missing. Didn't we know that? Amen. I mean, you knew whatever you tried, whatever you did, however you lived, there was something always there that just wasn't there. It was a void in your life. Well, it's no different today than it was then. People know today there's something in their life. There's just billions of dollars spent every year on all kind of searching of the population of the world to try to find out what to fill that vacant spot in their life with. And many of the world do not even know that it's the eternal food, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's what He's trying to get across these folks in this confrontation that they had with Him here in the synagogue as they gathered around Him. So from this confrontation, Jesus begins to teach them in an explanation in verse 32 and 3. Look at that in verse 35. 32. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Also look over in verse 49 and 50 and 51. "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." How many times does Jesus have to say something to make it true? How many times did you hear in this particular short passage, Jesus kept saying, "I am the bread of life. I have been sent from the Father. I've been sealed by God the Father. I've been sent into this world to bring you that life-giving bread which is in myself and nowhere else." Jesus then turns his attention to the story of the Old Testament where Moses led God's children in the wilderness wandering, and God sent down manna every day, except, of course, the Lord's day. He sent manna to them every day in the wilderness. He referred them back to a passage that we know they knew in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go back over there and look at those couple of verses with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 2 and 3. You'll find where Moses talked about that with the Israelites in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Now, this story he kind of reviewed in their presence, kind of rebuked the people that were gathered up in confronting Jesus as he began to explain this. Now, Jesus in the synagogue where they'd gathered around, he challenged Israel in the New Testament as they were challenged also in the Old Testament. Now, he'd give them a fresh New Testament version of what took place in the Old Testament. He says, all those who heard Jesus tell it again were offended, most of them were at least. Here Jesus both speaks of provision and division. Let's look at provision first of all, verse 32 and 3 and verse 35. In the wilderness wanderings, Israel was really struggling just to feed their families, weren't they? God let them hunger. They were struggling. And God, in His great, wonderful mercy and grace, provided manna. Someone said it's called angel's food. Manna came down every day to show Old Testament Israel the value of spiritual food over the physical food. How much more valuable is the spiritual food, not the physical food? You can't compare the two. There is no comparison whatsoever. So he brought this story up again because Jesus saw them and Jesus knew them and he knew what their agenda was. The New Testament Israel was seeking a king. And they were seeking a kingdom, but they only were seeking a king in this respect, that they wanted provision physically, and they wanted to be rid of Rome ruling over them. That was the kind of king, and that was the kind of kingdom that they were seeking, and that's not the kind of kingdom Jesus said He came to bring. Not just providing physical relief, you might say, and then going against Rome and ridding that yoke of bondage Rome had upon them. All they wanted was physical security and abundance. Hello, what about today? What are people looking for today? Physical security and abundance. I do not know it, the many times I've heard some modern day preachers talk about how, oh, if you just trust Jesus, you'll never get sick again. If you'll just trust Jesus, you're going to live forever, I guess they think. But the Bible says you're going to die. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, and they're going to die. Nonetheless, all people want today is physical security and just abundance on every hand. Jesus gave them the real explanation from provision to decision. Look at these verses 49 through 51. I'm not going to read them again. Jesus said, I have been sealed from God. I have been sent from God to earth to die for you, to die on the cross, to provide for you that eternal, everlasting bread that Jesus said, I am, to make that bread available to Israel. To make that bread, he said he came to do this for the whole world, not just Israel. But to make this provision, God had to let Jesus come, identify with us, and die on the cross to make it available. He was coming to offer them what was missing in their life. Jesus today is just the same. He's here in the Spirit of God to offer us what all of us know, that there's something missing in their lives. These folks knew it in Jesus' day, and people know it today. They sometimes just don't know what it is. They don't know who it's to be from and how to get it. But Jesus explained to them, it's a decision, he said, in these verses 49 through verse 51. Now, he said, talked about them eating his flesh, drinking his blood. Ignorance now for the Jews in Jesus' day here was not going to be an issue. There was a time the Bible says Jesus winked at ignorance, but now He commands every man everywhere to repent. Amen? Amen. They were going to have to either choose life in Him, an eternal life-giving bread in Him to save them, sustain them forever. That was one side of that decision they had to make. Or the other side of the decision was this. Either had to accept Him, or they had to turn and opt out for willful disobedience. And you know where the majority of them turned, don't you? That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace to the world. I came to bring a sword. There has to be decision made by individuals to receive the Lord or just turn away in absolute disobedience. You know, don't you, the truth of Jesus has always been a divider. Always, Jesus said in these other passages, I've come to set a family in variance one against the other. It's still going on today. Some get saved in a family. The other family members say, well, I don't have anything to do with you. You're not part of our family anymore. You just get out on your own. It still divides families, husbands, wives, sons and daughters, parents and children. It's always been a divider. Depending on, listen to me, the personal decision that a person makes. Each person has to make his or her own personal decision to receive Christ Jesus into their life. Jesus offered them the realization from this confrontation that they wanted to have with Him about food. But then Jesus also, thirdly, gave them the realization that it's all to be had and found in Him and Him alone. They ask in these verses 52 through 58, well, Master, what is it that we need to do to meet God's requirement? If it's that important and it's got to be that way, then what are we supposed to do to meet God's requirements? Anybody ever ask you, what must I do to be saved? How do I know? Another young rich ruler asked Jesus, Master, what can I do to inherit eternal or everlasting life? Well, Jesus told them plainly in verse 29 what they must do. Look at that verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is what God wants. This is what God demands. This is what God expects of you. He said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. Believe on God the Father. Put your faith in Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God will come into your life and regenerate the spiritual life within you. They must believe in God, the one who sent and sealed Jesus. Now, when He told them this, the realization, here's the results. Two things. The truth, as it always does, did then. The truth just about always offends the majority.
That's true.
Always does. Always has. Some believed as Jesus said this, but many did not believe. It was at this point in Jesus' ministry when many people just turned away from Jesus in willful disobedience. When Jesus said He was a true bread of life, the fault line between believers and His conspirators, you might say, that chasm grew to a canyon. It just got wider and wider and wider at this particular point. Nothing after this would ever be quite the same with Jesus. Well, we know that truth is very rarely popular, don't we? Napoleon once said, man will believe anything but the truth. He'll believe everything but the Bible. Well, that old guy was pretty well right in that statement, I think. Well, true then, true now. Amen? It was at this time when Jesus made this strong statement that you've got to trust in Me, that many left following Jesus because He was not the Messiah that they were looking for. He was not going to be the king that they wanted. He wasn't going to set up the kingdom that they really wanted. He wasn't going to be the Savior as the one they were looking for. So the truth offends the majority. So today, when you tell somebody the truth, many times, 9 times out of 10, you may get rejected because of the truth. But you can't give up. Can't stop. Got to keep delivering the truth, even if it does offend the majority. But notice something else. The truth does offend the majority, but truth does offer clarity in all these things going on. Now, Jesus knew how disillusioned His apostles and disciples were. He knew how depressed and how discouraged they were. Well, The apostles at this point had almost concluded that their dream for this new government that Jesus talked about, and their dream for this new kingdom that Jesus talked about, they had almost concluded that their dreams for this had just collapsed. It just really wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to take place. Jesus turned to them, and here's what he said in verse 67. Look at it. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now would be the time for the voice of clarity to speak up and be heard. And it was. Peter at this time was the voice of clarity. Peter stepped up and Peter spoke for the group. And he said, Lord, to whom shall we turn? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'd say like this, Lord, you're our only hope. Lord, we don't understand all that's going on. We never have. We probably never will. Lord, we don't understand it all. But we don't have anywhere else to turn. We don't have anybody else to turn to. Lord, we've chosen you, and it's in you that we stand. That's about what Peter was saying. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Listen today, beloved. Nowhere else to turn. No one else to turn to. Our Lord is our only hope. As He was then, so is He today. These are probably some of the sweetest words that were ever uttered from the lips of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So, was Jesus a provider or just a divider? Actually, He's both. He came to provide eternal life. And those who accept Him automatically divide themselves from the majority of the whole wide world. It all depends, you see, on yours and my personal faith or our own willful disobedience. But you see, Jesus, He's still the same. Still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anybody ever ask you, is He a provider or divider? Tell him He's both. Then explain to him how He's both. Amen? Yeah.